From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
Beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us as spring has turned to summer here in the Sacramento Valley. And we're joined by Deacon Kevin Staskow. Deacon, always a pleasure to see you.
Great to be here, Bob.
In person, no less.
Yes, in person.
Let's see, how many months were we doing these virtually?
Yeah, like a whole year, I guess, right? 13, 14 months probably.
I forgot who you were, what you looked like. You had to give me your business card and say, Bob, it's me, Kevin.
It feels like me. Actually, I've been back to, I think this is my fourth week back in the office. It feels like I, you know, never left. So it's funny how easy it is to get back into the old routines.
Yeah, right? How was it? I mean, you're in charge of youth and young adult and faith and family formation and for 20 counties.
Yeah. No.
How was it?
It's kind of, you know, actually, it was fine. You know, I do think you start to realize that these virtual tools that we had, we were already doing some meetings on Zoom before, yeah. Right? Because I always had people at Chico, and right. I had someone on the ground in Reading.
Right.
At Chico at the Newman Center, I had a couple employees there. And so I couldn't always every week get up there. Right. So I would do a virtual meeting with them. And then we always had once a week where I'd bring everybody from youth and young adult ministry and family and faith formation once or twice a month. Well, it was weekly, and then it was twice a month. Yeah. We would do a virtual meeting so that, you know, everybody. And then for a while we were rotating around, like, let's all go visit Newman Sacramento, and then some other people were virtual. So we were using the virtual technology for ourselves.
Right.
But, you know, this idea that every meeting is going to be virtual or have a virtual option – you know, wasn't really in our head. And now it's like, well, how could we not do this, right? Like,
right.
If somebody can't, you know, has car trouble, they can just come in virtually. Why wouldn't we want that option, right? Why wouldn't we want to make this meeting, these resources, this speaker available to as large an audience as we can, right? And I think there's a fear of people who are older like myself, right, of, wow, if we open the door to, you know, ministry isn't in person and we're not in the same room together, like, that's not really ministry. That's not really community. That's not really formation. Mm-hmm. That's not really relationship, right? I mean,
open question.
Yeah, and I think there's a tendency, depending on your generation, to really judge that, right? And you know, to say, these young people, how can they have community online, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, yet there's a lot of older folks who found community for years and things like, you know, when I first started, you know, when I was a teenager, a lot of people were on bulletin boards, right? You called in with your modem and you called out your community, right? And so now you can do that with video and audio and, you know, whatever. It'll be emotion coming through the screen next.
I look at my kids who, you know, are late high school, early college, and communicating with high school friends who are off at college somewhere, almost on a daily basis, looking at them, talking to them in a way they never would have 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure that's not a good thing.
Yeah, the Jetsons, man. The Jetsons, right? Remember the Jetsons?
Exactly.
Dick Tracy, right? It was all the same thing, right? It was all, you know, this was envisioned, you know, through science fiction and TV years ago. And we all thought, that'll never happen, right? I remember Jane Jetson, right? She'd get on her video call and she had that picture of herself she put in front, kind of like a, you know, the Zoom picture, right? Like that made her look like she was all made up and ready to go. And behind the picture, I remember that. And I remember thinking, oh, that's really weird. That'd be strange if you had to be on a phone call and it had to be video, right?
Yeah.
But now now you have 10 options on your phone to do just that.
Yeah.
And it's better, more features than the Jetsons.
Now you do have to have showered and gotten out of your pajamas before you get on the phone.
Well, that's right, because of HD, right? Or whatever it is, 4K or UHD 4K or whatever it is, right? But I think, you know, again, I do think it's really opened my mind even more to, because I refused to allow my team to stop doing ministry, right? I mean, there was a tendency, I think, for all of us, it's like, wow, this is really a bummer that we can't gather and we can't do this. And I'm like, wow, if people can't go to Mass and have to watch Mass virtually, we better, you know, we better keep, because, you know, in my head immediately was, wow, what are all these ministries going to do that are, you know, so right. dependent? And again, all these ministries that are dependent upon getting a room at the parish to be able to have their exactly. ministry, right? So hopefully now they've seen, wow, we don't need a room at the parish. We can meet outside. We can meet online. Right. We can meet in our homes. We can, you know, we don't exactly. need the we don't need the parish to have a room available at the time. You know, we don't need to work our ministry around the parish schedule anymore, right? I mean, I think that's a – hopefully people are taking that and running with it to see, like, hey, the parish structure and the space and these things don't need to be barriers anymore. And too often we use that – those physical space reasons or all of these things. Like, you know, I'm uncomfortable with technology, whatever, to right. – keep us off the internet, keep us out right. of the social media, keep us off the website, you know, and the parishes are like, wow, you know, now we've had to, you know, whatever. So, you know, what, you know, I remember when Carson Weber used to work for the diocese in 2007, yep. Yep. right? 2007, the second iPhone had just come out. He's doing podcasts. He's saying, you know, every parish should have a paid person to do the website and technology right, right. and all this stuff. And everyone's like, you're nuts. You yeah. know, and, you know, he's trying to work with these volunteers. You know, how many, you know, so many parishes, if you try to search for parishes, you'll find three websites for those parishes.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it was three, you know, volunteers. This volunteer right. set up a website in 1994. This person set up another website in 2000 because the 94 guy left
right.
and we don't have access to that website. So you'll find these old right. websites for your parish, right? And, you know, at St. Lawrence we did that, right? We changed the name, we changed, you know, now our website name has changed, everything else, because we had to do that because right. we lost touch of that
exactly.
former volunteer team, you know. And Carson Weber was saying this in 2007, like, every parish needs to pay a person to do their website. And everyone was like, why would we do that? He's like, no, this is the, you know, right. this is where people are. Well, that's where people were in 2007. And now we're in 2021, you know, 14 years later. And, you know, we're only scratching the surface in some of our parishes of realizing we need to be where the people are
right.
and the people are online. So hopefully we've learned that in the pandemic and we'll continue to do it, right? My fear is we the governor, whatever he says, June 14th, right? We're going right. to get rid That's of the it. Tiers. Everything's no, going to yeah. be gone. Everyone's going to go, great, back to usual, right? Like, you know, I'm sorry, you know, you don't have a room, you can't meet, you know.
I wonder if Johnson & Johnson will come out with a new shampoo that says no more tears.
There you go. But I do think, hopefully we've learned that. I think my team has learned that, and I think we're starting to envision ministry in a different way. And I hope, you know, I hope the church also realizes, too, that we're just scratching this. Again, I think we're worried the people won't come back, right? That's right. the big worry. I mean, I'm not worried about the people that won't come back. Like, there's the people that came in the first place was only 5% of people right. that call themselves Catholic, right. right? Like, we've got so many people to reach out to, right? right? And so I hope we won't be obsessed of just keeping what we had.
Exactly.
And we'll continue to have that, you know, that disciple's heart of saying, I have to evangelize. I have to look outside. Like, what about all the people that aren't, you know, again, right. like, we're concerned about our sacramental numbers or the same number of people receiving First Communion. That should, you know, there's so many souls to save that are not Catholic. There's so many souls right. to save that are Catholic, but that forgot about the sacraments, yeah. right? There's so many souls to save that are just, you know, that are just lost, right? Lost in this culture. So how do we reach them, right? And these tools that we've learned to use with our own during the pandemic, hopefully we'll say, okay, now how can we use these tools exactly. to whatever? But again, anything that's worth anything takes investment, right? We need to invest exactly. in staff. We need to invest in, you know, whatever. And we're going to have to ask our parishioners to keep giving generously to be able to right. support those things. But I do think, hopefully, and I've said this since I started coming on your show 13, 14 years ago, right? I've said that what we need in ministry more than anything in our parish is experimentation. We need to experiment because the things that we're doing are not reaching all the people we want to reach. Are they effective for a small amount of people? Yes. Yeah. And those people are thriving, right? But there's so many people we're missing by our current efforts. And we can't just keep doing the same thing, expecting that all of a sudden, all those people are going to show up, right? Exactly. They're not, right? So we need to say, how can we revision what we're doing? And every year we should be saying, what needs to die in our parish that, so that new growth can happen, right? What is not, what are the things that just aren't working?
Kind of like those control burns.
Yeah, no, there you go, right? I mean, burn, I mean, I just...
Where you say, this is preventing thriving.
Yeah. No, and I do think it's like... There needs to, every parish needs to prune as well as plant, right? Yeah. And I think a lot of times, my concern is that we're not planting anything new, right? We have I don't know what the analogy is. We have a strain of corn that's being killed every year by the by whatever this pest is, and we just keep planting the same corn, right? We're not even trying a different variety of corn. We're not, heck, we could plant zucchini. It grows faster, right? I mean, we could plant, and I just feel like there's so many people that need the truth. There's so many people that need Jesus Christ right now. There's so many people that could really benefit
this
from a church
country
community.
Country needs Jesus Christ right now.
Yeah. Sometimes I just don't think we believe it, right? We don't believe it. We're like, well, they're not going to listen anyway, so we won't.
Right.
We won't even bother. We won't even bother to try, right? And so, that's the whole thing. And we talk about the political power of the church if we all got together on the same thing, right? There's also just the power of being able to spread the gospel on all these social media platforms that we're all on, right? But we're too afraid to say anything because we're worried about the backlash, right? We don't want to. Yeah. And I just feel like we need to continue to fight that fight. We really need to get our message out there. And again, it's, we are painted in the media and everything about a church that's behind the time, the church of no. The bishop says all the time, we need to be the church of yes, right? There's so many life-affirming things that we teach, and we need to get those teachings out there. And I do that every day. I have a reflection on the scripture of the day that I put on our social media site, right? And I do that every day, and it's like sometimes I'm like, why don't I even bother? Sometimes only four people like it or whatever. Right, I'm like, what's the point? But I figure I just want to put that energy into – I want to put that out into the world, right? I want to put that, tweet length – it's not on Twitter, but it's on Instagram and on Facebook. I try to put that reflection out every day. And sometimes those messages repeat, right? Because the gospel is not as complicated as some people try to make it, right? So, you come back to the same themes. But I try to think in reading the scripture, what is the one thought that I want people to have for the day? And some people follow that, some people don't, but I try to put that out there. And I wish more people would. I
mean, where can people read that?
It's at our on our social medias at SCDOYYA, SCDOYYA, which is the Sacramento Catholic Diocese Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry, SCDOYYA on Instagram and also on Facebook. So that's on every day, and try to do that. But I do think this. Hopefully we've seen the power of these tools, not only to spread the gospel, but to keep our communities together. Not only to keep the communities together, but I think to deepen people's faith. I really think we can use these tools to do that, and we have to have the faith and the confidence in that. Yeah. We can't be afraid, of the technology. And it may be that I think hopefully we're going to have a resurgence of wanting to be together as well, right? So things like retreat experiences for a whole weekend might come back, right? I mean, I feel sad that my biggest sadness in ministry today is that so few of our high school students and so few of our young adults have been able to go on a full retreat, a whole weekend retreat or a whole week of retreat, right? This idea that my life was changed over and over again from these weekend retreats in high school and in college. And that was youth ministry back then, right? Like if you were part of a youth group, you went on retreat 2-3 times a year, right? And I can't see a youth group experience that's meaningful without that time, right? And I feel like, you know, because of the, you know, because of liability laws and because, you know, the youth minister is only part-time. Because, I mean, there's all these excuses why we don't do those, right? And I'm like, wow, like, we need to get those back. We need to get those experiences back, right? So hopefully there'll be a resurgence, too, of, like, wanting to be together and valuing that time together and realizing how precious that time is. And so, I hope there'll be a resurgence in that as well coming out of this. But I hope we don't lose. I mean, I hope I'm able to attend meetings on video all the time, right? The more, you know, again, I don't, a lot of people are like, I never want to be on another meeting on video again. I'm like, no, you don't realize, like, people that live in remote areas, people that have, you know, mobility problems, people that, you know, people are that are shut-ins, whatever. Why are we keeping them out of our meetings by expecting them to transport themselves there? You know what I mean?
I have a meeting tonight that I probably wouldn't make if I couldn't do it at home.
And I think that's been my, the time that I got back with my family, not having to drive to Vacaville, to Vallejo, up north, like, you know, two or three times a week. I mean, that time was precious to me, right? I look back to it; it was a gift, right? I mean, again, I don't want to say that the pandemic was a gift because it wasn't. It was tragic and horrible. But let's take the silver linings that we can from this and not, you know, and not throw them out the window. And again, it's a both and thing. I'm not saying that, you know, no one have a live meeting again, but I'm saying that some of those meetings I had on Zoom with a small group, they were very intimate conversations, right? Because once you got over the technology and got used to it,
It was weird then it was helpful.
And then it was helpful. And you can, you know, again, I love how Zoom, you can, like, oh, you know, let's see Bob's face really big. Right. You don't even know your face is huge. You don't know I'm watching you on a 43-inch TV, right?
Let's do this where we age him by 20 years.
And that's your play with him. Is there a button unbuttoned on his shirt? I'll zoom in.
That's fun stuff. But, you know, I mean, I was talking with Lincoln Snyder from schools a couple weeks ago, and they did both. You know, one teacher is teaching in the classroom and teaching those who are still at home, and back and forth, and just doing heroic double duty. And this fall, or actually summer, we start in August, they're going to have one academy for every elementary kid in the whole diocese who wants or needs or whatever the reason is to still be doing it virtually. And you're saying, you know, we're putting the word out to Parrish and Wairika and Alturas and every place else that if you have a yearning for Catholic education, we can now offer that to you in a way they couldn't before. The nearest school is in Reading.
And think about that too, right? Like, why, if a kid is sick with a cold or whatever, you know, or has some symptoms of the sickness, why should they have to go to school? Like, why can't they just stay home? Why do they have to miss out on the lectures, right? Why can't they just jump on a Zoom call for that day, right? And fully, you know, and participate? Yeah, it's not the same as being there, but why wouldn't we allow them the option to participate virtually in some way so that they don't have to, you know, whatever, get the notes from a kid who doesn't take good notes or whatever, right? Like, why wouldn't we let them participate, you know? And the same thing with parents. If I have a sick child, now I can, you know, I can stay home with that child and I can still participate in work. I don't, you know what I mean? When I stay home with a sick child, trust me, most of the day they're asleep. So why is that required that I say, and maybe I do want to just take a day off and sleep myself.
Yeah,
that's fine. But I'm just saying, like, why shouldn't I be able to do that? Yeah. Right. And why can't we as a Catholic church, you know, endorse that? Because it's good for family life. Right. I mean, again, not as intimate, not whatever. But again, I think maybe the times we do have together, face-to-face, sharing faith in a small group, right? Those become amazing times, right?
Like
being on a retreat, because it's rare. It's not always with it. No. We got together. This is going to be a really special time because we're actually physically in the same room. Hopefully we'll value that more.
Yeah, and there's something, too, about more often and not in a personal one-on-one or a small group meeting, where there's a give and take that sometimes there isn't on Zoom, where somebody's afraid to speak up and isn't sure how many people are talking, and Or, you know, how many great things are said when somebody corners somebody after a talk and one-on-one for about 2 minutes. You go, oh, I thought you said this. No, I didn't say that. I said this, you know. Mm-hmm. It's important stuff. But the Super Bowl of ministry in the Diocese of Sacramento, the ministry days at the end of September.
Yeah.
What did you learn last year during the pandemic? Was it stuff you're going to use this year?
Yeah, well, I mean, we did the whole thing virtually last year, right. And so this year we're going to keep doing that. So we're going to have several workshops that will be virtual, and so you'll be able to participate either virtually or right. come in person. So
and will you be able to hear 40 different workshops over a period of a month?
Well, I don't know if we're gonna broadcast that many. I think we're gonna broadcast a smaller subset because we want people to come live if they can, right? But we're going to make a subset and the keynotes and the Mass with the Bishop and all that available to people, and they can register and watch those. And then we're going to let those workshops be available to anybody who came live. If they want to share some of those workshops or the keynote or whatever with others, they'll be able to do that after the fact as well. So we're hoping it'll be good. And again, that's the hopefully the takeaway, you know, talking to my people as well, is they're going to start doing their support gatherings live again with the virtual option, right? Yeah. So we'll just see how it goes. I don't know. Maybe we'll just all get sick of that. But I think part of it is now we have the equipment, you know, and we know how to use it, and we've used it because we've had to. And, you know, necessity is always the mother of invention, as my father used to say.
Did he invent that?
I don't know who did. I'm sure you can figure it out. Gabe will figure it out by the end of the show.
He will. He'll
Google it for us.
He'll call Al Gore, who invented the internet, right?
That's right. He invented the internet. That's right. That's
right. No, it's, you know, and you were talking about, it's not just Catholics. It's the whole, and Bishop Soto is very good about that. He's the bishop for everybody. Yeah, he's the Catholic bishop, but the whole geographic 20 counties needs us. Jesus didn't just minister to Catholics. In fact, when Jesus started, there weren't any Catholics.
Yeah. Well, I try to say that to people all the time, right? A parish has a geographic boundary, and ideally, the priest or the pastor of your parish is there to kind of empower you to go out and spread the gospel to every single living soul in that geographic boundary.
Exactly.
I often say, like, you know, I live in Roseville, and Foothills is the dividing line between St. Clair and St. Rose.
Right.
If you're on one side of Foothills, you're a St. Rose parishioner. You know, that's their territory, right? So they're responsible for those people. But the other side of Foothills, that's a huge area, right? That's where all the new homes are being built. That's all of St. Clair's territory. So as these new houses go in, it's not just about traffic. It's about how do we reach out to them. But again, I think we're just many parishes, we're just not set up that way, right?
Yeah.
We wait for people to show up, right? And what do they show up for? The sacraments, right? So we end up just being sacrament distribution stations, right? We're not reaching out beyond our, you know, the walls of the parish into the community. And again, there's a big problem in that we're not engaged in the community as Catholics, right? So we may be on all these boards and committees, but nobody knows we're Catholic. We never talk about that, right? Like this idea that our identity as Catholic people should be extending to all the things we're doing in the civic world. And if we don't have a civic, if part of our faith and part of our discipleship is not connected to the larger community, that's pretty un-Catholic.
Well,
right?
I mean, many times it's almost like we try to keep it to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I know I am in the habit of generally closing an email with, sometimes it's all the best, but frequently I say, God bless, or God bless you, or something like that. And once in a while, you'll get pushback to that. Somebody says, oh, don't you realize that might be offensive to somebody that doesn't believe in God or blah, 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 you know? And I go, yeah. And sometimes you get pushback the other way, which is, how refreshing. Nobody's ever said that to me before. But Jesus didn't say, spread the gospel just to those who, you know, are going to be happy about it.
Yeah, didn't Jesus say, I came to heal the sick, right?
Right?
I think that's the problem, right? Most parish life is spent, 99% of it is spent on the, and obviously we're all sinners, right? Obviously, but we're not, you know, there's people that are in such great need of the gospel, such great need of Christ and hope and truth and light, you know, and Jesus. And they're not being presented that by our culture naturally. Yeah. It's not just happening, you know, and we are supposed to be the hands and the feet, the heart and the voice of God to all of these people. So that, you know, that's what I think we need to be. And then, and the issue that anyone should have to come to church to experience that's not true. We should be in our communities, everyone who calls themselves a Christian, that their house should be a house of hospitality, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, your house should be the house where people know that if I need somebody to pray for me, that's where I go.
Right.
I go to Bob's house. If I need someone to help me with childcare, I'm going to go to Bob's house. If he can't do it, I know he'll be home. He'll get somebody to do. He's got a lot of kids. They'll help out, right?
Exactly.
I mean, and I know that, and it's a reliable place too. I know that if I knock on Bob's door, there'll be somebody home.
Right.
They won't be too busy to help me.
Exactly.
They won't be more concerned about their phone or their or binge watching, you know, whatever TV show to stop and to really, you know, to really listen to me and help me and be there for me, right? I mean, that's what being a Christian should be. It shouldn't be like, oh, they spend all their time at a church ignoring the people that really need them, right? I mean, I remember I often quote Pope Francis when he said, you know, hey, if you put people and you lock them in a room long enough, they will all get sick. Mm-hmm. But if you take that same group of people and you send them out into the world, they're going to get hurt. They're going to trip. They're going to get he said, I'd much rather have a bruised church than a sick church.
Oh,
so that idea that we're called to go out and we may die, right? We may, you know, if you go out in the world, some people are going to get hit by a car. Some people are going to get shot. You may, you know, all these horrible things may happen to you. But if you stay inside the church, you just waste away and die. And too many of us, our Catholicism is locked in the church, right? And the church has become a sanctuary to protect us from the world. And in a sense, it can be that in times of trouble. But if that's where our Catholicism ends, and there's no going out, there's no going to the margins, as Francis talks about. If there's no, if there's no civic dimension to our faith, you know what James says, letter to James, faith without works is dead.
Right.
I mean, but I think faith without that civic community, it's not just a faith of my family or me as an individual.
Right.
It's a faith of me and my interaction with my civic community, with my town, with my country, with the world, right? I need to be, and it needs to be not the secret Catholic Kevin, right? It needs to be the real Catholic Kevin out there, right? Even though sometimes it feels like you're the only one in the room, you know, arguing for the truth or whatever, right? No one agrees with me. I'm constantly having to explain why does the church believe in this, right? That gets tiring sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But that's our call, right? Our call is to say, well, here's why the church believes that. Here's why I believe that.
But and why don't you want to believe what's true? The truth isn't going to change on you. You know, like, well, it's not convenient right now for me.
I think there needs to be, you know, the other thing that I think parishes get wrong sometimes is sometimes parishes become places where people can't doubt, right?
Yeah.
People that are struggling with teachings of the church, they don't find a home at the church, right? I mean, I know my friend Deacon Ken Crawford at St. Clair, I know he does the Wednesday night inquiry group for RCIA, right? He's there every Wednesday night. Just come in, ask any question you want, right? He gets all kinds of stuff, right? But it's just like there needs to be a place in the parish where people could really like doubt and struggle with church teaching and say, I don't believe in this, or I can't accept this, right? But
or
they can
the Bible
still
said
be embraced.
This, and I don't think you're teaching that.
And
you have a chance to explain what we are teaching.
But I do think, you know, that's another thing that we get wrong, right? The church is not for the saved. The church is for the people on the journey.
Right.
And some of those people on the journey are people that we don't like, that don't agree with us, that, you know, that are living, you know, they're living sinful lives and trying to do better, right? So we need to open the doors to them. We need to invite them off the street to come, right? You know, the I love that parable of the banquet where he invites the people, they don't show up, and then he invites the second set of people, you know, the B-list doesn't show up, and then he says, fine, just go out and bring in all the homeless people. That's fine. You know what I mean? That's what the Lord's feast is for. It's not for the people that are too busy to come to the feast, right? Or think they don't need the feast, right? It's for the people that really need the food, you know. And I feel like sometimes those people don't get to the table, or we block them from the table, or we block them from our churches, and it's sad to me, right? Because we need to be a place of hospitality. You know, that's the bishop's new pastoral letter.
Yeah, so. I know. It's interesting that all the years I've gone to the Walk for Life in San Francisco, and occasionally there's, protesters, hecklers along the way. Not many, a few, and once in a while they'll yell something at you, and they always say, "Don't engage," and I said, "Well, forget that. I'm going to engage." And I remember some guy called me a name, and yelled it out, and I wasn't carrying a sign, right? I was just walking along. And I went over and I said, "Now, what makes you think I'm that?" You know?
Uh-huh.
And he called me a homophobe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I said, "This is a march for life. You know, it primarily has to do with abortion and respect for life, and I respect all lives. And where'd you get that?" "Well, I just know that X, Y, and Z equals Q," you know? Mm-hmm. And we talked and we talked. And we talked very, and I think, I hope he went away. I went away feeling like I understood him better. I hope he went away thinking the guy wasn't a jerk. The guy wasn't, he wasn't all self-righteous, and, you know, he actually wanted to hear what we had to say. I even gave him my phone number.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. Those are the people that we need to reach.
Well, and I think it's that idea that we don't take time for conversations like that anymore, right? Like, oh my goodness, I don't even want to go there, right?
Yeah.
And I've had my share of being attacked on social media for comments that I've made, and so then we don't ever type a comment again.
Yeah.
We don't engage people in those conversations, right? And it doesn't have to come out of a place of, know-it-all-y-ness, or I'm going to prove that I'm right-ness, or I'm better than you, or it doesn't have to come out of a place for judgment. That's what dialogue is, right? It's listening more than you talk. Yeah. It's really wanting to get to know people. And I think that's the thing. Like, when you get to know what their situation is, sometimes it becomes obvious why they believe what they believe, right? Because you know their story, and then you got to unwind that, right? It's not so easy to just say, "Oh, just do it this way," right? Well, oh my goodness, look at this person's life experience, so different than mine. Like, no wonder, and it's hard. I don't think it's easy, and that's our culture, right? We're too busy for all that stuff, right? Why do I want to have a conversation with somebody who doesn't agree with me?
Yeah.
That just seems like a big waste of my time.
Just trying to get through the day.
I could come talk to Bob. He's just going to say, "Attaboy, Deacon Kevin. That's great. Everything you say is cool," right? I mean, again, it's hard enough. Or Bob and I will get into an argument, but our values, are the same or whatever. Right. We're both Catholic, you know. I guess I understand that, right? But that doesn't – that, you know, in a sense, we're not proclaiming the scripture if we're just like, in an echo chamber, right?
Well, Deacon, we covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah, we got a little bit off topic there. I don't know what our topic was, but it's really good to be on, Bob. Thank you for having me. It's great to be in person.
This is
firing me up.
Yes, yeah, that's what we want to hear. Speaking of which, in the final minute here, On Fire. You're going to have On Fire.
We are going to have On Fire live and in person on the 18th of September. It's Saturday. It'll start at 9:00 and end at 8:30. And we're really trying to get back to our roots with On Fire. Is just a really fun day in the park for teenagers. So this is an opportunity. We hope that people invite their friends to come, even if they're not, Jesus freaks or hanging out at the church all the time. They can invite their friends to come. It'll be a day of roller coasters and fun. And we'll do mass in the morning with the bishops and a concert in the evening. The middle of the day is wide open just for fun. There's an all-you-can-eat lunch.
Oh, that's great.
And after the evening program, there's a couple hours in the park where people can just – it's only our group.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to get – we're hoping to get 2,000. And so it'll be 2,000 Catholic young people in the park just enjoying themselves and hanging out. And it's just – it's a really fun event. It's great to see all the different youth group T-shirts and people hanging out. Just it's just basically a fun day for youth groups.
There are a couple of rides that I will not get on unless they give me the last rights first.
There's some good rides here. I got an opportunity to do – Father Mark Wiesner from the Diocese of Oakland and I went to the park and they let us in.
Yeah,
it was like during spring break. So there wasn't very many people there. So it was like at 15% or 20% capacity. And so they let us come in early and we rode the Joker by ourselves.
Oh,
the
wow.
Only people. I've never ridden a roller coaster by myself. Yeah. Right. So it was just Father Mark and I. But that's a fun ride. But it goes upside down several times. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, there's some good rides there. You know, you're right, though. You're right. Some of them are pretty terrifying, but that's the point. Right?
That's the point.
That's the point. So
that's the more terrifying, the better these days.
Yeah.
Deacon,
for sure.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks
Bob.
So much. Thanks for all you do. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hi, I'm John McGinnis, retired sheriff of Sacramento County, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Sheriff. Thanks for all you have done and continue to do and here in the greater Sacramento area. Well, a lot happening here in schools here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We're pleased to welcome in Anthony Jackson, who is the summer school director at St. Robert's School here in Sacramento. Anthony, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. So I am the advancement director during the regular school year for St. Robert Catholic School. And during the summer, I direct the summer school program. And this is my seventh year directing the summer school program. And every year we seem to grow larger and larger.
And is this, were you able to have summer school last year or were you pandemicked out?
So we actually were able to open summer school last year. The Catholic Schools Department had just put our protocols in place. So we were able to open our campus and have 43 students on campus for our six-week summer program.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about your background in Catholic education or just in education in general.
Okay. So I originally started as the extension director here and kind of worked my way around. I taught PE for a while, And then a couple of years ago, I started doing more of the marketing stuff, assisting the principal. And last year, I was given the role of advancement director. I've been at St. Albert Catholic School for a total of 14 years.
Wow. Did you grow up in this area?
Yes, I did. And actually, I attended St. Albert Catholic School as well.
Oh, that's great stuff. Yeah. And where'd you go to college?
I went to UC Davis.
Oh, an Aggie.
Yes.
Go Aggs. That's great. That's great. I'm an Aggie, so I know all about them. So have you always thought about wanting to be in Catholic education, like in your undergraduate days?
No, actually, I always wanted to kind of go into, the political science, government angle, and just by chance, I ended up staying, as extension director, extension aide, classroom aide, and kind of, fast forward to 14 years, I'm still here.
Wow. It must fit you.
Yeah. I love the community. It's a great, great community.
Yeah. I hear nothing but good things. Tell us what an advancement director does.
So I oversee all of the marketing, some of the outreach. I oversee the fundraisers as well. Work directly with the principal on enrollment management, as well as the registration process, and also put some processes in place for enrollment.
So when you're planning a fundraiser, do you just go what's tried and true, or every year you're scratching your head saying, can we come up with something unique?
It's good because we always take the traditional fundraisers, and I like to kind of see how we can grow them, what we can do to, increase participation, how to kind of make sure that there's something for everyone. So I think that there's always definitely some sort of new and old that we can bring to all of our fundraisers.
Very good. So tell us what the offerings for summer school are.
Okay. So this year we have a 7-week program, and it's camp style, so it's not fully classroom instruction all day long. We do a lot of hands-on projects. We do a lot of experiences. We have some STEM projects that are going to be worked on. It's really about social, emotional learning and growth. So we do have a lot of, partnered projects. We also have some independent stuff. We do the core ELA, math, science, but we also integrate a lot of PE, history, social studies, art, that type of fun, as well as some summer activities, with water fights and, a little fun in the sun.
So are most of the kids from the St. Robert community, or do you attract more in the summer?
We actually attract a lot of our local schools. We're located in the Harwood Park area of the south part of Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And we have students that come from other local Catholic schools, neighboring public schools. We have some cousins who, come to stay with their family a couple of weeks and join us as well. So we really have a mixture of students from various schools.
Very good. Very good. So how many people will you have this summer?
So right now we have 65 students that are signed up, which is going to be so far our biggest year, so we've had to increase staffing. So I'm hoping to, accommodate a few more students and have some more students enroll.
And it's not too late to enroll?
No, definitely. It's not too late. We're accepting students pretty much even throughout the summer. So as sometimes, summer plans change, families can reach out and contact me, and we can definitely make an accommodation to have them enroll.
Very good. What's the best way to contact you?
Contact me through our school website or by email. We're strobertschool.org or ajackson@strobertschool.org.
And that's St. Robert, not possessive.
Correct.
Right. So is there a religious element in the summer?
Yes, as well. well. We do that as well. We also have a religious component. And depending upon where we're at with our protocol, students may attend Mass or we'll continue to live stream it throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm. And you, and it's a regular Monday through Friday type schedule?
Yes, Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 3:30. We have before and after school available as well.
So it's a regular, it's a full school day.
Oh, yes, it's definitely a full school day.
Now, are people,
7 weeks of full days.
Are people picking up academic credits, you know, to make the fall easier or something, or is it just a summer session for its own sake?
It's more of a summer enrichment session.
Uh-huh.
And we work closely with a lot of our teachers on our campus as well as other schools to, you know, make sure that we're meeting the needs of those who need a little extra help in various areas.
Do you know how many other of the elementary schools in the diocese offer a summer session?
I believe there's about four or five of us.
Uh-huh.
But there could be more. I'm not too sure. I know in our area, there's pretty much our school as well as a few in East Sac and the North area.
Will this be offered online as well or not?
No, we're actually going to be 100% on campus this summer. Last year we did kind of a hybrid, which worked great. But this year, you know, our protocols have proven to be successful. So we feel it's safe for all of our students to be on campus for this summer.
And what's the first day of school?
That'll be June 1st.
So it runs through, mid-July, huh?
Yeah, July 16th is our last day.
Very good. Very good. And there's air conditioning?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. If it's too hot, we keep the kids inside.
An Olympic-sized pool?
I'm sure the kids would love that.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's great. Well, Anthony, very good to hear from you, and best wishes for a real successful summer session there at St. Robert.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you, Anthony. God bless. That's Anthony Jackson. The summer school director at St. Robert, and then during the regular school year, if you will, he is the advancement director there, which is a kind of a catch-all title for a whole bunch of hats that he wears there, and does just a great job, good job there for them. So a lot happening here in the diocese, and we should let you know that speaking of schools, the Diocese of Sacramento has a new executive director of Catholic schools. Lincoln Snyder, who has been the executive director, is leaving the diocese. But he will still be part of the diocese because he is leaving. He's been the executive director since May of 2015. He is has been named as the president and CEO of the National Catholic Educational Association. It's headquartered in Washington, D.C., but Lincoln will still be around, and he's leaving for that job on July 1, so he will be working hand in glove with the new executive director, you know, between now and then. The new executive director, appointed by Bishop Soto, and this is a statement from Bishop Soto, I have appointed Ms. Katie Parata to the position of Executive Director of Catholic Schools, effective July 1, 2021. Katie serves as principal at St. Dominic School in Benicia, a position she has held since 2014. She is also co-founder of Hackathon Junior, a nonprofit organization focused on engaging young students in STEM education. Prior to becoming principal, Katie taught English language arts for several years at a Catholic elementary school in the Diocese of Oakland, and she recently completed her doctorate in educational leadership. Gabe, remind me when we have her on to refer to her as doctor. That's great stuff. Katie has dedicated herself to the mission of Catholic education, cultivating good disciples of the Lord Jesus. She fosters a strong relationship between the school and parish, earning the respect of pastors. She enjoys the respect of her peers in the Diocese of Sacramento. And St. Dominic in Benicia is in the Diocese of Sacramento. Ms. Parada succeeds Mr. Lincoln Snyder, who has served in the role since May 2015. Again, Lincoln will become the president, CEO of the National Catholic Educational Association, NCEA, and that is the largest educational association in the United States, and the diocese does work closely with them. Lincoln and Katie will collaborate to ensure a smooth transition, not only for the Catholic School Department, but also for the pastors, principals, teachers, and families of all the Catholic schools in the diocese, 36 Catholic elementary schools here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Please join me. These are Bishop Soto's words. Please join me in welcoming Ms. Katie Parada to our team. Together, we will continue to the good work of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus as we support children and young people in being his living sacrament of joy and hope in Northern California. So we all welcome Katie and pray for her and wish her all the best as she moves into this new role in the Diocese of Sacramento as executive director of our Catholic schools. The 8th annual Vocations Dinner here in the Diocese of Sacramento is scheduled for Saturday, July 31. And last year they just had to scrub it, didn't have it at all, didn't have it virtual or anything. It's such a great event. This year they're going to do it in person. That's the plan. And every day as more and more people get vaccinated and as the numbers seem to get better, it looks like having it in person is going to work. Right now, I believe they're thinking about 50% capacity, but that may go up. Hopefully it'll go up. It's always a great event. This year, and they move it around the diocese, this year it'll be at St. Mary Catholic Church, 1333 58th Street in Sacramento, hosted by Knights of Columbus Council number 953. You can meet the diocesan seminarians, hear their vocation stories. That's a highlight for me. Bishop Soto is always there and speaks, too, another highlight, obviously. And you can join in fellowship with Brother Knights and parish communities throughout the diocese. There are Knights of Columbus. They're from all over the Diocese of Sacramento. Support our future priests and religious. Acknowledge altar servers. Altar servers are honored guests. Enjoy a delicious meal catered by the Buckhorn Restaurant and such great food as well. It all starts about 4 p.m. on Saturday, July 31st at St. Mary Catholic Church, 1333 58th Street, and again hosted by Knights of Columbus Council 953. For more information or for tickets, tickets are $45 each or $250 for a table of six. So that's a bit of a savings there of about $20. You can call 707-372-4913 or contact one of the Knights at your parish, and they can tell you how to get a ticket to it as well. But it should be a great event, as always. Always, I have not missed one, and they are always great events. Also, to provide access to great ongoing formation opportunities, the Diocese of Sacramento is connected with several institutes that provide a wide variety of parish formation resources. The Catechetical Institute at Franciscan University offers over 100 formation workshops for almost every ministry area, and they are offering a free webinar for people who would like to learn more about it. Over 70 dioceses have partnered with the Franciscan University's Catechetical Institute, growing by two partners per month. The Institute is just 3 years old, and already 150 dioceses from 27 million people have reached out for help, including 70% of U.S. dioceses, over 1,500 parishes and schools. It's a new and rapidly growing collection of excellent Catholic ministry workshops that offers unrivaled formation to those engaged in forming others. It's called FranciscanAtHome.com. A parish or school's annual subscription gives unlimited access to all the individuals who sign up under their parish or school at no additional cost to them. Any and all teachers, catechists, RCIA teams, parish leaders, and parents will have unlimited access to these unique online workshops in the comfort of their own homes or in a group setting, maybe all get together. Hundreds of workshops in all ministry fields are being developed for this platform to allow a diocese to thoroughly train and spiritually nurture any person involved in passing on the faith. And it's very flexible. Dioceses, parishes, and schools can use this vast collection of formation workshops in many ways. You can use it as part of a ministry certification process, as an ongoing formation or continuing education, as enrichment for any role of passing on the faith to others, especially volunteers, as a substantive and engaging means to help parents grow in their vocation, as in-depth content for group discussions, and as a means to develop parish evangelization, social outreach, and RCIA teams. Again, you can check it all out for forming those who form others, Franciscan at Home. youthonamission.com and should be just a great, great program. Also, a Youth on a Mission, NorCal Catholic Discipleship Training. Have you ever felt compelled, motivated, or called to take a journey that will impact others around you? Now is your chance to take the opportunity to make a difference. At Youth on a Mission, you will encounter Christ, learn practical skills for servant leadership, discover God's call to evangelize, and be challenged to take the next step in your discipleship. Youth on a Mission runs from June 22nd to 25th. Option one in person is at Trinity Pines Catholic Center up in Colfax. Option two is virtual. For any questions, contact Jennifer Campbell here at the Diocese of Sacramento, 916-733-0135, or jcampbell@scd.org. At any time, scd.org, Sacramento Catholic Diocese, that's all you have to remember, scd.org. Youth on a Mission, June 22 to 25, jcampbell@scd.org, or 916-733-0135. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showed then God is love, and God is just. Deserved life. Have I?